Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. Welcome back to The Shift.
Hello. Oops. Came in too fast.
No, that's you didn't come too fast, Katie. It's fine.
I was coming too fast.
I was kind of joking there because I usually do that on my own, but yeah, myself and like, Katie finally organized enough to do this while we're together.
You have your sexy voice.
Is that your sexy voice?
That's my sexy voice.
Sexy Katie.
Katie. Hello, boys.
That's pretty funny. On this episode, it'll be coming up later, something for you to look forward to. Katie actually does a bit of Irish dirty talk, but yep, we won't give it away.
No, it's hot stuff. Get ready.
It's a hot stuff. Yeah, we won't give away your dirty talk, Katie.
No.
You know, but it's coming.
You got to get halfway through to hear it.
You got to get half. Oh yeah, it's about halfway through the episode.
I think so.
So before we introduce the app, you wanted to thank a few people?
Yeah, thank you to all the listeners. And there's been a few girls who came out to the show last weekend.
Came out to a show.
They ended up staying and watching two shows, in fairness to them. Great girls. So I wanted to thank them because that's huge for me.
Did you get their names?
I did, yeah. Feck.
You wrote it down?
There's Maeve. And there was...
Neve.
A Michelle. Sorka. And all the Irish names.
Sorka, Dervila.
And there was Claire, and let me just make sure now. Oh, jeez, they're going to kill me. Just because I tagged them in a post here.
Jesus.
Sorry.
You're so unprepared. I was trying to do a big, like, professional beginning to the episode.
I know, but it's just because I have her in. It's Claire. There we go. Claire and Ellie. That was the other girl.
Claire and Ellie. So no Maeve and no.
No, there was Maeve as well. Yeah.
Oh, so Maeve, Claire and Ellie.
Yeah, lovely girl. So Claire is the girl who listens to the podcast, and she brought out her friends and they were really supportive and it was just really nice. And
made you feel a little famous.
It did. And then I got to, it was even like funner chatting to them on stage. And then we had a couple of drinks and then they stayed for the next show as well. So it was just.
Really?
And it made me look, because it's a small bar show. And they were delighted that I'd brought people out.
Which bar?
Old Man Hustle.
Oh, it was an Old Man Hustle, yeah. Right around the corner.
Yeah, so then they asked me to do the second show because the girls were there. So the girls actually got me booked on the second show, really.
Wow.
And we had a great
time. Why didn't you bring
time.
Them all back here afterwards? You're literally one block away.
I know, I said that to them, but you were actually out in the Hamptons.
Oh.
Yeah, they would have loved to have met you. Oh, I was like, wow. Des lives over there, and they're like, can we see his house from here?
Well, you know how to get in. So.
Yeah, I'm just like, come on.
You could have been like, come on, and we'll go check it out, see if he's...
This is where he sits. That would be so funny. They were great girls, though, so I'm really grateful for them to even... I was like... Well, what happened was, because I was on that show, but then they forgot I was booked on it because there was a mix-up. And they'd kind of messaged me saying there was a mix-up. And I go, don't worry. But then I forgot that those girls were coming out. And then they called me and they said, there's a bunch of Irish girls here. You better be coming down to do the show.
Oh,
so
wow.
I got on the next train down, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, they just said they popped in.
Hot like, property, Katie Boyle.
That's great. Oh, Jesus. I'd love that life forever.
Well, that's great. We'll keep it going. So it actually turns out to be kind of like a random other gig encounter that has led to our guest for this week's episode.
So after I left those girls, I went up to Stand Up New York and did a gig. And afterwards, there was an Irish girl sitting outside. I was introduced to her, had a few drinks with her. She had a very open conversation with me about sex. And I said, oh, you'd be great to have in the podcast and talk about the differences from here and home. And that was kind of it.
And that woman was Emma Waldron,
yeah.
Former Miss Ireland 2010.
Yeah, which she never even told me. I didn't see she was Miss Ireland until I went on. We had talked about everything and that never came up until I went onto her Instagram. And I was
you
like,
just
oh.
thought she was a human being.
I just thought she was a normal person.
Just a normal human being. A peasant that likes a bit of dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead, no, it's a former Miss Ireland. 2010, yeah. moved to New York and lives here now. And so I was delighted when you said it. I thought it'd be a great guest. You know, we haven't actually had a lot of Irish females. You know, we've only had you, Joanne McNally.
Yeah.
And now.
And I'll tell you this. I reached out to a bunch of female Irish Insta girls that are living over here, either doing fashion or doing... I all like successful on Instagram with what they're doing, and all of them lovely message back and said, no, thank you. I would not like to talk about my sex or day life on a podcast.
Is that right? Well, so, I guess because they're not in the game, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be pretty open.
But one of them's lovely and she was like, I really don't want to do it, but I'll go to your shows and I'll listen to the podcast, and she likes all the posts. So that was great. And she's super, super into it. She goes, it's just something like, no, my mother died.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people get that. My
so
mother would die.
So I think for Miss Ireland, I know that she was saying, before we did the podcast, she was like, had spoke to her mother and she was like a little nervous doing the podcast. So it was great that she actually did do it.
That's right. So it was a great ep. We talk about coming up on this episode. We talk about public displays of affection.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about, I mean, you know, we revisit the old subject of growing up in Ireland and sort of attitudes towards sex and feeling bad about sex and everything. Also, frequent topic on the podcast, the freedom that comes from, I guess, getting away from that.
Yeah.
And realizing that it's no big deal, and how living in America, you guys kind of identify a lot on that, sort of coming to America and feeling a bit freer, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we finished on we talk about...
Nudes.
We talk about sending nudes, and we also talk about the craziest place we had sex, even though none of us really talked about anything too crazy.
Yeah, even in hindsight, I guess mine wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, all that stuff is coming up.
Just being out of the bedroom is crazy.
This week's, just not in the bedroom. All coming up on today's episode of The Shift with Emma Waldron. Happy hump day, Katie.
Happy hump day.
It's always hump day.
Our
podcast always goes up on Wednesday.
I forgot, yeah.
Wednesday is hump day.
I miss humping.
It's a double meaning. It gets you through that midweek slump.
It's been 2 months. What am I going to do?
It gets you through the midweek slump with a chat about the hump. Anyway, we'll talk to you after the episode.
But you came over to America, like, that was it.
Luckily, I've just started recording.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Hopefully you can edit that out. I know.
Everybody say hello to Emma. I'd love if people actually then said hello as they're walking down the street, isn't it? Yeah. Emma Waldron, Miss Ireland 2010.
That's right. But, you know, we have you on as an Irish person that lives in New York.
Right.
Yeah, because I...
Not that we're dismissing the achievement of being Miss Ireland 2010.
Thank you.
Which I remember all the Miss Irelands.
Do you?
Well, I can't name them year by year, but
just
if
I
you told me a name, I'd say, oh yeah, she was Miss Ireland.
No way.
Was Roz Purcell one?
She was the same year as me.
She didn't win.
She did Miss Universe though. So I did Miss World and she did Miss Universe.
She was in with the Trump. She was in with the Trump crew.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They all go their own way. She went the health way. Emma went the travel the world way.
Yeah.
Start a company way.
Which is great.
Mad.
So I met Emma the other night out drinking. Well, I was after a show. Well, actually, I was planning to go home after a show, and she convinced me to stay and have a drink, and we got chatting, and that was it. And
really living up to the stereotype, aren't
you were at the comedy club, were you?
Yeah, we were. Of the one uptown.
Where
Stand
was
Up
it?
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did a set there when I came out.
How'd you end up in there?
Because my friend Janelle is a comedian as well. So we were floating around town and ended up there.
What's her second name?
Janelle Dennis.
Oh, right. Do you know her?
Yeah, she's Canadian. She's very funny. But it's such a small world, because a podcast listener had messaged me being like, oh, my friend Emma lives in New York and she's friends with a comedian. I wonder if you know each other. And I said, no.
Way.
And then when I put my Instagram story up of you and I hadn't tagged you in it, she messaged me and she was like, oh, my God.
Stop. Are you serious?
Style by Mary.
Oh, Mary Quinn.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a big fan of the podcast.
Is she?
Well, she sends us a lot of messages.
Yeah, she's great.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
I just followed her back.
Yeah, she's a great girl. Yeah.
And so...
So we were delighted that you wanted to come on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys for having me. I think it's really an incredible thing that you're doing, talking about this and destigmatizing it and really trying to change it, because I think in Ireland, there's such a huge... And I think around the world, like diving right in, guys.
Yeah, great.
I think there's such a huge taboo around the topic, so I think that the more
sex.
People around sex there's a huge taboo around sex, and Sex in relationships, sex out of relationships. Like, I think there's, yeah, a big change and shift going on right now all over the world. But
what happened?
Yeah,
you guys started chatting about it or what?
Yeah, well. Yeah.
How did we get onto it, actually?
Well, so I guess, do you know, firstly, I didn't even know you were Miss Ireland. Just,
yeah.
I'll actually say this now, that when we followed each other on Instagram next day, I was like, oh, you're Miss Ireland. Oh, from Selbridge. I remember I was dating a guy from Selbridge and he was like, Miss Ireland is from Selbridge. That was back when I was 18.
Oh, he was flexing me for him to get attention.
We were going into the ozone.
Good,
he goes, Miss Ireland's here tonight. You were in the ozone.
Really?
Yeah.
Love
anyway.
The ozone.
So I didn't know
in the day.
Were you getting paid? Was it like a paid appearance?
At the ozone?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I had any paid appearances.
Because everybody was freaking out. They were like, Miss Ireland's here.
So random.
Isn't that mad?
So weird to think of myself like that.
So I guess,
by the way, because like you just grow up with yourself, so you are who you are. Do you know what I mean? And
sure.
I didn't change, and you're like, oh, that's weird. Like you were saying about, you know, people recognizing you from the podcast. Like it must be unusual because you're like still the same.
I hug them always.
No,
right?
You love it.
She loves it.
I love it.
Still a huge novelty for her.
Yeah. Yesterday, someone recognized me from the podcast. I waited the whole show to talk to her afterwards, and followed her on Instagram.
That's so nice.
She was
it's
lovely.
So good. You're so like appreciative of people. Like listening and, you know, supporting, because, you know, without them, you don't really have much of a, you know, it's really
Katie's
important.
Very appreciative.
Yeah,
it's really sweet.
Them.
And then you took photos with the girls the other day at the comedy show.
Yeah, they were
Uptown,
great.
The one we were at.
Yeah, they were lovely. A few girls came out who listened to The Shift and they stayed for two shows and watched me chase off a Hinge date. So that was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me. Yeah.
So anyway, what happened? You guys got chat. How did you come to... To
talk about.
Well, yeah, and to organize coming on The Shift.
Well, you started to tell me about how when you came over from Ireland, then you started to work in this place, which I guess you can talk about it now.
Yeah,
and I thought that was very interesting because that changed your outlook on sex.
Yeah.
And you were saying it kind of showed that you didn't know a lot or that you're maybe a bit innocent.
Yeah.
But were
definitely.
You guys connecting before that on the whole like Irish girl coming to America, sexual awakening?
Yeah, we were 100%. Like soul sisters.
We were talking about having like how we've learned how to I remember a bit about learning how to orgasm and stuff. Were you talking about that?
Yeah,
and, about guys we've had sex with over here and how different we are from back home and our New Yorker friends.
Yeah. So I think, when we were talking about the box and everything. So the box is...
You worked at the box?
Yeah. So I was working at a tech company during the day and modeling. And then I would work at the box at night because I was like, if I'm going to be making... 20% of something, I want it to be a lot of something. So it's a bottle service place, and it's also a very unique environment. And the more I started to work there, the more I started to realize that it was really opening me up as a person and as a human being. So
but
I think part of the
let me just stop you just for a sec. Before the box, had you already noticed that like your sort of hang-ups or your attitudes to sex were being challenged just by being in the States alone?
So I started working there pretty quickly. But before I moved to New York, I think I was a product of the Irish environment, which is very much still, I would think, from my experience anyway, it has quite a strong religious, you know, sentiment to it. And, you know, pre-Victorian, like there's so much history of oppression sexually, especially for women. And there's so many different reasons for that. You know, back in the time of like Queen Victoria, there was this, you have to be prudish, you know, a lady of leisure, you can't express emotions, you can't express desire. And then it was the Catholic Church, and it's constantly been, sex has been used as a method of control throughout Irish society. And I think that still exists. So you have this idea for women where the church controls your position socially, and, you know, God forbid, you know, somebody in the town knows that you did something that wasn't quite morally good. You know, I'm doing
you
inverted
felt that
commas.
You felt that growing up, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that even when I became Miss Ireland, I felt this responsibility to be this good, wholesome. Mm. And I think I was naturally that way. I was brought up that way. And so, yeah, to be this good, when inverted commas again, good here, what does that actually mean? And I think what you guys are doing is trying to destigmatize that and say, like, good can also mean having sexual freedom and having relationships where you are connecting on an intimate level with a human being and, you know, exploring that side of yourself. But I think that those conversations were certainly not what we were having. And we discussed this with our friends, in a school at all. Like there was no part of the education system where they were talking other than about like, you know, anatomically, or like, you know, STDs and how to avoid them, how to recognize them. There was
Did you get that?
Well,
you were in what school did you go to?
I went to Loretto and Stevens Green.
Loretto and Stevens Green did STD?
Tell us a bit about that,
what did they say?
So I suppose they just went through the different, I remember, do you remember those, what were they called, the projectors, but they had the
overhead projector.
So they had those little slides and they had pictures of like STDs and like herpes and all these things, and we were absolutely mortified and there was gasps and screams. But I remember the one thing that really stuck, I remember, was this pyramid, and it showed you if you have sex with one guy unprotected, you're having sex with all these other people, and it's an enormous number. It's actually terrifying. So yeah, we had quite an open discussion, and we had this.
But that's actually not a bit. Because I know that thing about you have sex with one person, you're having sex with everyone he's had sex with, and then everyone they've had, you know. And I mean, that's not a bad fear to put into people about STDs and awareness.
Yeah. I think that education is unbelievably.
The nuns must have been.
The nuns must have been
out of the picture by then.
There was one nun, Sister Carmel, was still our principal. She was running it. Yeah. You're right.
But I guess City Centre of Dublin, not surprisingly, a little bit on the progressive side.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that. No.
So, yeah, I think that's definitely good. It's good to be aware of how to, you know, protect yourself.
I mean, it is interesting on the Miss Ireland front that you have this kind of, on you know, it's all the wholesome, the goodness, even though it's like swimsuits and being sexy. But at the same time, all the sexiness is, you don't, none of, it's all sex appeal, but it's all sort of under the carpet in terms of what you're selling. So you have to be this wholesome person, even though you're basically saying, look at me as a sexual object, right?
So I think that Miss World and Miss Universe are quite different. And the Miss World, we didn't even have a bikini
element anymore
of it in my time, and that was 2010. So I think there was much more of an emphasis on the rounded human.
Yes.
So it was, we'd sports, we'd music, we had like a talent side of things. We had a charity component, and all of those things were, you got a weighting, and it all contributed to your final score. And so it was definitely more of the rounded individual. Yeah. But yeah, essentially you're being looked at as, you know, a beautiful, maybe.
So it was somewhere between Miss Universe and the Rosa Tralee, yeah?
Exactly, it is. That's exactly the perfect midpoint between.
But I guess because you feel you're representing Ireland, so you have to have this, you felt like this, like pure sort of. So then
I was terrified of the press. Like, I was just so scared that I was. So there was no training. The difference between America, if you're going into these things, or other countries, and Ireland, was we had zero training. So I had no idea about the media. And sure, I just like can talk for Ireland, you know, like I just talk and yap. And I was so naive and I had no clue about that side of things. And so as I started to see different articles being written, and sometimes like, and in fairness, like I was very lucky, and most of the press that I worked with or chatted to were so, so, so lovely. But then you had the odd one, and, you know, if people on the phone getting upset about it. And it was just a whole world for me that just absolutely terrified me on so many different levels. And so I just felt this pressure, even when I was out, like just to be like, you know, this rigid, perfect person. And especially now, it must be even harder with social media and everybody having an opinion. And I'm sure with comedians as well, like it's just, it's really difficult to kind of be your true authentic self without getting such a backlash. So I can't imagine.
Yeah, but you get like, it's a different focus. Like when you're the position that you were in versus the position that comedians end up in, it's similar on some levels but different on another level, because you can directly respond to, you know, you don't have to try to pretend to be something that you're not when you're a comedian. At the end of the day, you're being provocative. Being provocative is kind of part of your job.
Yeah.
So there's not the same pressure to stay in lane. As perhaps you were feeling.
And I think it wasn't even, so like I think that was kind of part of who I was at that time too. Do you know, I just was this kind of like very good person. Like I was studying hard and I was never kind of, you know, inverted commas, misbehaving or probably boring. But like, so then when I moved to America, it was a freedom for me. It was like a liberation, because I could come here, I could act how I wanted, make friends with who I wanted, be who I wanted, not worry about anything that anybody else thought. And so then that allowed me to really explore multiple aspects of my personality on multiple levels, like sexually, emotionally, you know, educationally, whatever you want to say, like what I wanted to experience in life. It was such a freedom. And I think then kind of going back to the questions about the box, I remember when I went there first. So it's a vaudeville style club. So there's a lot of nudity.
Yeah, but it's more like whatchamacallit, burlesque, right?
Yeah,
it's quite sexual.
It's very sexual. And they themselves, I suppose, I don't want to be misquoting them because I have Simon Hammerstein on the phone to me giving me grief. But, you know, they say that they're a home for the, you know, inverted commas, freaks. And they adoringly and lovingly give it that term because back in a time where, you know, in Ireland in 1993, it was illegal. Like, it was just illegal to be gay. And it just became decriminalized. And now, thank God, in 2019, look, we've got Leo Varadkar. And it's just amazing the change that's happened. But in New York, it was the same way. You know, it wasn't always safe to be gay or trans. So the Box was that place where all of those people went and felt safe. And so when I went there first, it was such a culture shock to me. And not, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it was the best experience because I got to listen and learn and talk to people of diverse backgrounds, of diverse sexualities and genders. And it was just beautiful. And there was the main act is a transgender 60-year-old woman who performs outrageous acts in order. And her purpose of doing that is to break down the bullshit in society. So you have this, you know, bottle service culture here where people are spending $10,000, $15,000 on a table and you've got egos and, you know, money and, you know, this sense of entitlement in the room. And then you have this woman who is performing these absolutely insanely ludicrous, you know, intimate acts on a stage. And it changes that. You can feel the energy in the room shifting.
How did you feel when the first time you saw that? That first time, because I've been there once, but I know the performance.
I felt like, oh my God, what am I seeing? This is awful. I can't believe someone is doing that. Where am I working? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm being, you know, morally challenged here. And and then obviously it's a club. So there's like drugs and alcohol and this stuff going on stage. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to go back home. If my mother could see me now, you know.
That's but funny that it's always the worry, like if my mother could see me.
Even coming onto this, she's like, well, don't say anything, you know. We don't want to be putting out there.
Oh, you told her you're coming on?
Yeah, I just had to pre-warn her, you know.
Nobody's really been in any nobody said anything too outlandish on this podcast.
Nothing
other than Katie.
Yeah. Other than me. I've never been to the Box, but I remember going to the Slipper Room for the first time and I was just like fresh off the plane.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? How is this legal? That was my first thought.
What was going on in the Slipper Room?
It was just burlesque dancing, but I'd never seen that before. Now I've like, I ended up running a show that had burlesque in it, which is
I
went from night and day in the space of, you know, a year. But
the Box is pretty full on with the performance.
Well, I started to go at one stage, there was a woman putting her finger into another woman's vagina.
Oh, okay.
And this was all like my first time seeing this. And I was like, is this like live sex? I don't really understand. They were like, no, it's part of the performance. Like, I guess she was pulling something out or something. I can't really remember exactly, but I was very shocked.
And I suppose people are listening probably going, why in the hell would you ever go to somewhere like this? But there's something.
I don't think so.
Do you not think so?
I think people secretly are more up for stuff than they outwardly put out. And I think a lot of people that listen to this are quite happy to let that part of themselves, certainly in their own private space while the headphones are in, they allow themselves to think, yeah, actually, that seems pretty interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, like, it did make me question even. It was frightening and shocking because when you haven't seen that ever before, all of a sudden you're like, am I turned on? Do I like women? What's going on? Yeah. I've never seen this much. Like, there was tassels and boobs. And it was just
you have tassels,
because if you've never been explored to it. Yeah, she bought me tassels as a present. But when you've never been, when you've never seen it before, you're like, what am I feeling? What is this?
Yeah.
It was a huge sort of, I can't even imagine working there. But
you know what's so interesting about what you're saying, and it's what's happening a lot in Ireland and America. We're so desperate to label people and label things. It's like, I am this sexuality, I'm this gender, I am this thing. And it's so that we can kind of understand it. But I feel like once you kind of, you know, the phrase, once you label me, you negate me. But I think that we as like sexual beings aren't really, we can't really put ourselves into a box. And I think that sometimes that, yeah, maybe you did like that experience.
No, I already know I like now seeing, like, I have never done it, but I do like when ladies touch each other. That's okay. Pretty.
She's the getting
most,
fluid.
The most popular porn section for women is lesbian porn.
Yeah.
But so there's a new app that is just audio. So apparently women rather just the sounds of sex versus the actual visual image.
What is that? ASMR porn? Isn't that what they call the sound stuff?
ASMR can also be like when you're like squidging.
Yeah, like sounds of stuff.
Slush. Ooh. But it's the visual side of it too. So like you can have like glitter and you can just like, there's a notebook. Did you see it on my Instagram story? Oh. So myself and Janelle were at this art store and there's a notebook and you can move the sequins and they're one color and then you move it another way and they're a different color. So people are attracted to movements and paint and sounds and things like that. Yeah. So I think it's more than just sound, but
you're probably right. So now they're into sound porn?
Yeah. But so I just women because they close their eyes and they, tend to visualize it. Yeah.
I still haven't watched actual porn. And if I did, this wouldn't turn me on what I'm about to say. But I started watching Outlander and after like nearly every episode, I need to go touch myself. And it's like very mild sex scenes, but it's so hot. So I think I haven't been like...
Is this like the Mills and Boom of like...
Have you seen Outlander?
I haven't seen Outlander.
No, you keep asking me this. I haven't seen Outlander.
I didn't talk about it on the last episode, did I?
Well, we talked about it all last week.
Whether it
was on the episode or not. Just
sorry, podcast listeners.
You're involved and you probably don't want to hear the
but
edit.
So wait.
I've heard a lot about Outlander the last sort of 7 days.
I love it. I just finished 2 seasons.
Are they advertisers on the show? I feel like they should
No,
be.
We don't.
We should contact
them.
So...
The whole podcast listenership is waiting for Katie to actually watch porn. I don't think Katie realizes how fucking simple it is to just fucking watch a goddamn scene.
Next,
next week's episode is the episode where you talk about the porn
that
you
watched. Watch it while you're...
Yeah, well, I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah, I could live commenting. I could video it for you and watch it.
Yeah, I can fucking show you some porn right now, Katie. You make it sound like it's like this inaccessible thing.
What would you like to see?
There's porn
it's
in my
happening.
Hand.
Is it really happening?
Well, do you
not
want
if you
watch
don't
some
want
porn?
To. I feel like we're forcing you into something.
No, I don't mind. I'm all some forever.
Forcing her into she'll fucking. She'll do anything for the podcast.
Why haven't podcast? Why haven't
she'd never use the vibrator.
I'd never use the vibrator.
She'd never use the vibrator.
I know. I did know since the podcast. So
yeah.
Oh,
we
wait,
got
so
one.
You exploring new things?
Because so you follow sex shopper?
Had you used a podcast? Had you used a vibrator when you were in Ireland?
No.
Have you used one since you came over?
Yes.
See, isn't that mad? And what kind of made you think? Like, there must be something between.
So I think when you come here, there's so much more freedom because there's so much more people. So you can really be your authentic, true self. And that sounds like such a cliched thing to say, like being your authentic self. But Ireland is so small. And like I said about the religious aspect of it, there's still quite a... And it's changing a lot. I mean, we've
changed a lot in the last 10 years.
Even the few years I've been gone, I would go home and... Or will I talk to my cousin? She's like they have Tinder now and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I think just having the freedom to do things and explore things that, you mightn't have had the chance to before. And then
travel does that in general. Yeah. But I think when you leave Ireland, particularly around this subject matter, it is a big transition.
Yeah.
And especially like both of us came from very small towns where I didn't even know you, but I knew you. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows each other. There's a link. Yeah. You can't go explore something sexually without Bob saying it to Harry and Harry saying it to Sean and then your mother having a bloody heart attack.
But how great would it be if you could? Because at the end of the day, it's just another element of your personality and your persona and something. It's fundamental to our existence. Yeah. Literally, it's something that we all crave. We all desire. It's a very human thing. And so why don't we?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about it more? Why don't we enjoy it? Why is there the stigma around
shame.
It? That shame.
But
totally
most people, most people have, to a large extent, certainly the generation that came after you guys, I guess you could say 2 generations after me, they seem to be absent from at least a good chunk of the shame that was thrown onto you guys. Definitely a massive chunk of the difference of shame that was thrown onto my generation. I mean,
do you think that is?
Well, because the church doesn't have the power that it had.
Right.
But I still think because I obviously talked to my sister and I talked to one of my friend's sister recently as well. They wouldn't be our generation. Well, they're a lot younger than us, let's say 10 years. But they're still not a huge comfortability with women talking about masturbation or
but they're pretty young, Katie, you know, just in terms of that example that you give, right, she's only 17, your sister, right?
Well, I was talking to another girl as well who's a little older, but again, it's, yeah, it's true, it's still young. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good point.
But I do think there is elements of it being Ireland, but I also think, don't forget that they're quite they are quite young. Like I think they'd really only be at the age where they'd be guys are more comfortable talking about masturbation, but I wasn't talking with my buddies about masturbation until I was 17, 18 myself.
But I had sex before I was ever comfortable talking about stuff, before I'd ever masturbated, before I ever, and I think that is a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. They have sex because it's like, oh, everybody's doing it, let's do it. But you actually don't know. I wish the conversations, like, how can you be embarrassed to talk about it, but you can go off and do it?
Yeah, well, that's been most people's relationship with sex in general.
And then it allows for unhealthy relationships to happen. And I'd imagine even now, more so with porn, you know, being so easily accessible, that if your kind of paradigm for a healthy sexual relationship is porn, then you're really screwed. And if you're not talking to your friends, and you're like, that's the norm, that's really not the norm. So I think I was actually chatting with my mom about, I don't know whether it was about this, I think it was... Oh, it was about sending like nude pictures. And I was like, well, we just need to embrace the fact that this is what we're dealing with now, that we have porn and we have sexual liberation. And your daughter is going to want to do this, and discuss it. What are the pros, the cons? Why do you feel like you want to do this? That's great that you love your body and want to show it to this person. What are the downsides of that? And like, what else could you do? Or, you know, just actually having an open conversation that's understanding, rather than, oh, you bold, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, because they're going to do it anyway. It's good to have a little bit of kind of fear in a sense, so that you can protect yourself. But also, if you talk, you know, if you treat your child like an adult, and say, look, this is the realities, because they're going to feel that way. You know, there's going to be people in their lives that they're going to want to, you know, at a young age, you know, explore and have, you know, relationships with. And I think now we just have to have those conversations more openly.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are.
Yeah.
I definitely. There's been a huge change, like absolute massive change.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget, gay marriage is legal. Abortion is legal. I mean, there's been huge changes in our society. So, I mean, I think... if you talk to the average 18, 19 year old Irish person, they've had a very different relationship with sex than you guys did. Certainly the people my age did.
I'll tell you this, especially when it comes to the nudes. I took my first nude ever and sent it to someone, and then I thought, ah, feck, what if they send it out? But then I thought, I'm so proud of it, I don't mind. It's just like, I guess, losing that kind of care, and like, who gives a fuck if someone sees your nude, really, in the long run? Do a Whitney Cummins on it, where they tried to, did you see that? They tried, she's a comedian, but they tried to, what's that word, bribe her? They had a nude of hers.
Oh, blackmail her.
Yeah, blackmail her. It was just like her nipple out, but she just shared it on all her social media. She was like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm not going to.
Same with Bezos as well.
Same with what?
Jeff Bezos did the same.
Oh.
But I think, it's I agree.
How do you guys feel, since we're on the subject, how do you guys feel about sending nudes?
Well, I sent my first one and it was exhilarating. First one this year. And oh my God, I spent hours trying to figure out how to take it. I took there's like 50 takes of that. If anyone goes up into my iCloud. But no.
I think you can delete it out of your iCloud.
Yeah, I have to figure out how to do that.
Make sure you don't share it to like your Google albums. That's like open to everybody.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Just be careful,
But also,
some people have had some iCloud issues.
I know, right? Well, I don't mind. Like, I liked it. You know, I felt like it was very classy and representation of me.
Yeah.
I showed all my girls.
You show? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of girls send like their naked pictures to each other.
Oh, really?
They want attention. Yeah.
I must get in on those WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, right?
I need to be an honorary guy in that WhatsApp group. Yeah, I think that's going to work well for you.
I think you should send it. No need for a filter.
No, it's kind of fun and it's exhilarating, and I really like my body now. So, but I'm also just, it's so funny, like, in this, if that would have been a few years ago, I would have overthought it and been like insecure. But I think if people did see it now, I really
don't. So do you look at your body differently now?
Yeah.
What do you think made you change?
Katie, watch out. She's interviewing you, buddy.
Oh, no, this is great.
Just be conscious of that. Just be conscious of that.
The tables have turned. I will tell you this, though, and I don't know if you feel the same. It might be coming in New York, and maybe younger women in Ireland feel this now as well. Maybe it's a change in the world. I don't fucking know. There was an attitude to not see yourself as great and be kind of a little mean to yourself and a little guilty. And I've spent the past, maybe even the last year, being like, actually, do you know what? I have to live with this face. I might as well like it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have to live with these boobs. I might as well like them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a better way to be.
Yeah, because those.
How do you feel about the nudes?
How do I feel about the nudes? You know what I feel? Do what makes you happy.
No, are you into
do
it?
Do you send them?
Am I into it?
Yeah.
That smile was yes.
Maybe. I dabble. No. I think I'm cautious of who I send them to, and yes. I would be in usually a relationship with someone when I'm sending them.
Yeah, because it's safer.
It's safer, but it's just not my personality to be so. But I also don't judge if that's what you know is your truth, and if that's what you fancy, go ahead and do it. Do what makes you happy. But I think you should love your body, and if you're with someone and you trust them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more into the chatting, perhaps the texting. I just get, I literally just get afraid of the pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you don't want
to pick. Have you ever sent nudes?
Of course I've sent nudes. No problem admitting that.
How does it?
But I get very paranoid about. Well, first of all, I've never want to send a pic of my dick. But upon strong request from somebody who I may be involved in some sort of sexual situation, I will send it. But it's not like something I'm dying to do. And I mean, I'm not a woman, so I don't because I don't want to pick up my dick out there.
Okay.
Which is a very rational fear.
Yeah.
You just don't want. You know, you Absolutely. Just don't want personal pictures floating around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I just don't want like a meme of my dick floating around on Instagram. Anyway, but I also just think, but maybe it's just because I'm a guy. I just feel like a dick pic is just not the sexiest thing. But some women just ask for a fucking dick pic. Mm. I've sent very few in my life.
So beautiful. So I can understand why they enjoy sharing them with their friends or even just taking them for yourself. Because I think exactly what you said is so true. Like, we didn't grow up hearing women saying, I love my body. It was always like fat shaming and whatever. And now there's such a conversation around, like, God, how beautiful is my body, you know? And I know that sounds like really like it's egotistical, but like, why do we look at it so negatively? How beautiful is that you love your body?
Yeah. You know? So be happy. To yourself.
I know,
yeah.
But do you for me, when it comes to like the sending the nudes and the, you know, texting and stuff, like, it is quite sexy. I mean, it's so sexy.
It totally works. If I'm with a guy, the last boyfriend, I asked him to send me a dick pic, and I loved it when I got it. And it was just because it's, like, a little bold, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you asked?
I asked. And he was reluctant at first. And I was like, I'll, you know, send you a really nice one if you send me a dick pic. It was all me. And then I got a dick pic. It was funny because his foot was in it. Oh. He had never taken one before.
I have this woman. I've never met her. She came to a couple of shows at the Comedy Cellar, and you know, added me on Instagram. And then we nearly went on a date. And I've never stood anybody up in my life, but I accidentally fell asleep, which I've never done in my life. Mm. I fucking fell asleep, and when I woke up, I was like, "Holy shit!"
Oh, no.
Yeah, I felt terrible, but. Anyway, she kept in touch with me very sporadically. But weirdly enough, every now and then, just out of the blue, she's like, are you around? And I've only done it once. But just one time she happened to catch me at a good time. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm around. And she called me. And like literally it takes 5 minutes. But she just asked me to talk dirty to her. Got herself off like super, super quick. Hilarious.
She was like,
that was great. And now every now and then out of the blue, I'll get like a missed Insta call.
Wow.
And I'll be like, what does like
she must love your voice.
Awesome.
It's so yeah, but it's just so funny because clearly that's her thing. You know, some people like porn, some people like whatever.
Yeah.
But for her, clearly like the ultimate masturbation aid is to talk to some random dude.
Good for her for finding that out.
Yeah. Was that awkward to start like talking dirty? Because I know that some of my friends were like, it's so weird, and she was saying, you know,
weird what? Why? What was that?
Oh, she just quoted
the
friend.
You don't know what to say.
Oh, sorry, I got you. Got this one.
Like, where do you start with it? Like,
I would find it. That isn't something I've explored, but I always just say their name. They're like, talk to me, and I'm like, Paul.
It has to come from the woman.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know if they were like talk dirty to me. I'd be like. Stick your dick in me. I don't know. It was
stick your dick in me.
Stick it in there.
Fucking shove it in there.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Back of the net, you cunt. Come on, fucking. Yeah. Fucking. Lob it into me there.
I think my accent would get really Irish. I'd be like,
lob it into me there. Fucking. stick your finger up my hole there. Go on.
A bit gentler, a bit gentler. What about you? Have you dirty talked?
Dirty talked.
Yeah, have you dirty talked? The shock.
The scoop.
I'll send a nude, but talk dirty. God, no. Look, go on.
I don't think anything too crazy, just like the normal things that you would kind of say.
What is the normal things? I swear to God, I've never had anyone in my whole sexual history ask me to
dirty. Well, so you have to follow the flow.
Yeah. So do you make noises? Because yeah, like, some people don't as well either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was having a conversation with my friend recently and she was like, it's total silence. And I was like, is that not?
That's her thing, total silence? Or she likes total silence?
She likes total silence. I was like, well, is that not, like, you know, awkward or whatever? She's like, no. So I guess mine would just be the normal.
Yeah, I just communicate that it's good because I want them to keep doing it. So I'd be like, oh, so good.
Right.
But I like the sound of somebody's pleasure also.
Yeah. Like, oh.
No, definitely.
Because it's so very real.
Yeah.
Especially if you're both masturbating, it's very real. Yeah. There's like almost like an attachment.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You get
definitely. And I think the audio also helps to, I know for women anyway, like we were talking about earlier on, I don't know whether it's the same for men, but it helps to increase the pleasure, I suppose, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it more. It's another sense that
you're
kind of satisfying.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Did you think I was giving blowjob voice?
I was like,
sorry, Emma took the mic. Emma took the mic away from her mouth and she kept talking. And I was trying to tell her to put the mic, but I think she thought I was
action.
So I was trying to do it in a way that was not
I'm pouring tea while talking about sex. Oh,
so
some people like the sound of tea pouring, Katie.
I do. Oof. Gets me off.
ASMR, isn't it?
Now, let me ask you something else, because I know Katie talks about this a lot.
Right.
Did you find any of it a bit difficult to deal with Americans' openness around sex, that they, you know, that sometimes they can be full on? Like, actually, we had Joanne McNally on a couple of weeks ago. She's in Ireland, and she was just like, I'm not comfortable with, like, the American comics that come over and like, yeah, I fucked him. You know, like, were you surprised at how open people were here?
No, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I think it's so liberating. Yeah, I loved
Katie,
it.
Katie, you cannot eat biscuits in the middle of the podcast.
I'm so sorry. You're so good. I put eating, my mic there. Eating, like, no one will notice. You always rap me out.
Love it.
No, he did
do
to me.
Do you, boo.
But we were doing a show. I opened for him. And I said something and then I realized I didn't actually know the date of when we got the year when we got our independence. So I kind of moved
on. No, you did know the year that we got independent, quote unquote. But you said Ireland became a republic in 1922.
Oh, you're right. That's what I said. And it's not. That's our independence.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that was it. They were all American, most of them, in this show. They weren't going to know. And he got up and he was like, so anyway, Katie.
Katie's telling this audience, you don't know anything about Ireland.
He's like, fact check. He's the Hillary to your Donald. Is that what you're saying?
It was great.
So, sorry, what were we talking about there? Oh, yeah. I was asking you a few... you know,
you like
the openness.
I love it. Yeah.
You like the fact that
because it's real. It's like it's a real experience. It's, you know, I think, you know, we're comparing to Ireland to America here. Like back in the day, like people were getting married much younger. Like there wasn't really I don't know if you'd have the same conversations about your husband as you are if you're a single. I'm 30 now.
Yeah, but we're well past year old that.
I know, but I'm saying like for me, like I'm 30, so it's like I'm, you know, single, like in New York. Having these conversations, I think it's a very different thing if you're like married and, you know, it's a different, it's just a different environment. So yeah, maybe you're right. We're past it and I'm still stuck back for when.
No. I was just wondering, like, so you were comfortable with that. You liked when girls were like, I had the vibe out last night.
Yeah. Cause you can learn as well. So if you're feeling something, you can openly say to your friends, like, oh, what do you think about this? What should I do about that?
Yes.
Like, how do I, you know, deal with this problem or that problem? Yeah. Or I don't like when he does this, or I love when he does that, or, oh, you do this. This is how this works. That's so great. It's an education. It keeps you safe. It's fun as well as all of the, like, educational side of it. It's just, like, great crack. Like, it's good to know, like, your friends are, you know.
Well, like, for example, the other night we were out. We'd had a couple glasses of wine now, in fairness. And there's a group of lads and we were both loudly talking about our sexual experiences.
Yeah.
And you can be guaranteed if you go back 5-6 years, we're in Ireland, 24. Yeah. We wouldn't have been that loud about it. And if I heard anyone else being that loud, I would have been like, jeez, will they keep down a little? But now my attitude has changed completely.
I have a question for you.
I don't know
then.
If that's growing up or just from being here that
would
I don't
you,
give a shite.
Would you have that same conversation we were having, which was quite like... You know.
I wouldn't have back home.
Openly
I wouldn't
sexual.
Either. Yeah. Very openly sexual. And that's
I'd be looking around
even
just in case
now,
one of my dad's friends.
But
well, now
I was
I'm better.
Saying earlier too.
Yeah. Sorry, go. No, you go. Even now what?
No, I was saying the exact same thing. Like even now, like I still would feel embarrassed to have an open conversation that I would very happily have here. loud and roaring laughing about different things at the bar here in America versus in Dublin, where you might know someone or someone might hear you or their granny might get offended, or, you know, because here people walked in the street and they're like effing and blinding and like cursing and like, you know, just being their full selves. So they don't really care about it. But my belief and feeling when I go home, and again, maybe it's dated, maybe we're past that, I still feel I can't have that conversation. And maybe we should. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we should have more of it to normalize it.
I would have lowered my voice if we were home, because I'd be like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what the bartender's saying now. There's Katie like mounting off about blowjobs and stuff. Whereas I didn't give a shite. Like, and the bartender there didn't give a shite and the guys didn't give a shite. But that's the attitude over here.
Well, they definitely turned their heads, looked at us and then turned back again. So.
No, when I was saying we're past that, what I meant was about the getting married younger fake. Like, I feel like even I'm a Gen X, like I'm born in 1975, but our generation talked about we get married later. So I just meant about the getting married later bit. I didn't mean about like being comfortable talking about sex. But what I will say is that is definitely shame, like geographical shame too, because when I was in China, I dated a Chinese girl for quite a long time, but just a casual kind of, a casual enough encounter that I had that continued like text-wise. She could not text me sexually in Chinese. She could only text me sexually in English because she felt very comfortable speaking dirty in Chinese, but she was very liberated to speaking dirty in English because when she spoke Chinese, she kind of felt the shame of her upbringing, because they have a lot of that too in their own way. So it's interesting that you guys think that you go back to Ireland and probably not feel as open.
Yeah.
Feel that judgment, that shame.
Like, I think if I were, now that I'm doing the podcast, maybe I'd feel a little, I wouldn't feel as less, because, you know, my parents know that I openly talk about this. So I'm past all that. But if I weren't doing the podcast, I would still have spoken to you openly about it. But I wouldn't go home. I wouldn't be posting on my Instagram the way I am. Like, some of the stuff I post now is only because of the liberation of the podcast.
How do your parents feel about the podcast?
Oh, my dad's great. My dad, though, he loves Des Bishop. He's been watching Des Bishop since, like, I have a joke about it, but I say that when I called him about doing the sex podcast, he was like, and I was like, it's with Des. And he was like, you do whatever that man wants.
She blows me every week. That's the price.
I said that to him. I go, oh, I've been saying this joke. And he goes, well, when I said that, Katie, I don't mean do what he wants. I mean for the podcast, Katie. No, he knows. Gross. You know, he's very much of like, he was meant to go play Aussie Rules in Australia and something happened and he didn't. And he's very much like, look, live whatever, do whatever you want. And but I'm very lucky. Not a lot of people have that. And I know that. So saying that, what we're saying, I wouldn't have went home and been able to, like, America was definitely very liberating.
And
can we just say, though?
Yeah.
Americans can be too loud. Let's not praise everything that the Americans do. Like, when they're fucking and blinded on the phone and you can hear their conversations, sometimes I think, shut the fuck up. The whole world doesn't need to hear your conversation.
Well, I'll tell you this, because when I had this, that's so true, because I do struggle. Here's the other thing. I struggle dating Americans.
I was just going to bring that up. You didn't bring it up because we talked about it the other day.
You go first. How's your experience with it?
So my mom laughs and she's like, you've dated all across the globe, which is true. I really like American men. I think there's a different kind of relationship. I do sometimes miss like the crack with an Irish guy. Definitely. Like, you miss the kind of that understanding, just in the same way as you would with like an Irish girl you meet, because they understand your culture. There's like an unspoken language that you have with that person. And so I think that helps like with intimacy, and it helps just with like understanding culture and like communication and stuff like that. But that being said, I did learn a lot from my last relationship, which was 3.5 years with an American guy. And a lot of it was around like saying, I love you, saying like touching, being intimate. That was all very much about like the American culture. Like, people here, they are much more vocal about how they feel and expressing like their emotions, and I love that. I absolutely love it. I tell people all the time, like all my friends, like I like every day if I'm on the phone to them, I love you. Like, it's not a shameful thing, and I don't think we do that enough in Ireland. And I think that we're afraid to express and be vulnerable, and I think that the best relationships that you can have are when you're extremely vulnerable. And I think that if there's an authenticity behind it and not just like saying it for the sake of saying it, if you really are feeling it, I think that's great. So that's what I learned anyway from.
But I mean, a lot of that is ridiculed in Ireland. Like, I remember when I first moved to Ireland, I was 14. Like, kind of like one of the memes didn't exist, but the memes, it was like American bullshit, like, oh, that's real American touchy-feely,
yeah,
you know, American emotional nonsense. You know, it is kind of frowned upon to be like open and emotional.
And I'll be devil's advocate on this, right? I find that, yes, it's great, and it's great that you can talk about your emotions, and that's very important, but I have found that there's nearly too much of it. As in, like, a few of the guys I've dated over here, they've been too sensitive, or they've picked up things too, that I feel like an Irish person.
Remember about the guy?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's that's actually one of them I'm thinking of. But I think that like, as an Irish woman, I struggle with that, where I'm like, why are you getting upset about that? That's a bit ridiculous. And then they're just trying to communicate their feelings, but I'm not used to that. I would never. Yeah, there's just...
You think that they're too sensitive, is it?
The ones that I've dated, for sure. And I don't want to claim that's all, because some of my Irish or my American lad friends are great. But just when it's come on that intimate level, I've been like, look, I didn't mean it like that. Or I don't know why you're crying now. Yeah. Or... And so I don't know if that's a different cultural.
Mentality, like, even in like hiring people, you know, there's a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. I don't know if you've read it. It's so good. My mom, shout out to mom, recommended it to me. But I think that exists within relationships as well, that we're, you know, this like trophy for participation, this kind of just like, you're great just for being here kind of attitude and mentality. And like, we all should be so cautious not to offend, and that everyone gets a prize. And I think that then also comes into relationships too, where it's like, if you want to express, I like this, or that hurts my feelings, then men have maybe grown up without having been criticized before. And so they can't actually, you know, decode that and see that that's not really destructive criticism. You're not being nasty. You're just trying to communicate a feeling and what you want, or, you know, expect it's, in a relationship. It's tricky though,
and it's tough to really know, like, you know, when they sell these books, they have to like take this thing and then say this has been a cultural phenomenon that changes. But just on a personal level, when you say, you're saying to like Irish people like, I love you and all that, do you find everyone's comfortable with that when you've taken a bit of this like cultural difference and brought it back home? Because I didn't, even in Irish America, I didn't grow up with a lot of I love you,
right? Maybe not always, no. And they won't necessarily say it back, but I think it's a great thing. I mean, I think my parents are now more used to it, and we definitely didn't grow up in a home where they didn't say it that much. Like, they definitely said it, but it wasn't like every single day, every conversation. And I say it to my brothers, and it wasn't like we were deprived of love or anything, like, don't get me wrong. It's a very loving household. I think just I make a conscious effort to do it. So maybe my brothers are a bit like, oh, Emma, but like, they kind of always were like that with me, a bit like of the loose cannon. But my friends now, we would never have said it before. And yeah, like, I don't think they necessarily like say it back or are comfortable with that, but.
And not that you're begging on your ex, not that you're begging on your ex-boyfriends back in Ireland, but like, when you say you had this experience 3.5 years in America, and there are certain things that you like difference wise, like, what was the Irish experience then like before? Like, was this like not a lot of I love yous, not a lot of sexual communication? Like, what was the stuff that now that you've had this other experience, you noticed wasn't there before?
Well, it's so hard to say, because I was so young when I was in my other relationships, that the kind of relationship you're in now is so different, or what I was in then is so different to my relationship when I was 18, because I was a kid.
It can just
be
maturity rather than cultural difference.
Yeah. I do think the communication thing is quite different. Like, I don't know if Irish, but I also kind of love that about Irish lads too, that they're not so kind of like focused on all the nitty gritty of things. They just kind of get on with it.
Just get on with it is a great statement. That is a huge difference. Yeah. They do just get on with it.
But I think also New York and America are two completely different things, right? Yeah. So in New York, I remember I went to a bar literally the first day I arrived here, and I was with my friend from America, and I was sitting chatting to a lad, and we were having great crack, and she kind of taps me on the shoulder, and she says, well, where did he go to school? What does he do? And where does he live? And I was like, what? I don't even know the fella's name. And she didn't even ask me his name. She asked me those questions. So in other words, where did he go to school? So was it an Ivy League school? What did he study? How much like money can he make? And where does he live now? So how much is he paying in his rent? So you're looking at people in a very different way here. So I think that doesn't exist at all in Ireland either. And I don't know.
But that was probably the circle you were running into, though.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because I don't
When you're in that bottle service world, you know, that's very focused on like what people do.
Yeah.
It was before that?
Before that, yeah. Yeah, it was just a friend of mine. She's not in bottle service world or others.
She just cared straight away about the money?
Yeah. But I think that a lot of my experience with people here has been that same way. It's like they look at you and they're kind of... And it works for men too. They're like looking at women as kind of... I'm probably in the wrong circle.
No. I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying. A lot of my friends would have said similar stuff as well. Like, you know, I never, ever look at jobs. But I've dated a lot of weirdos. But a lot
of my do you find Americans ask you more about like what job the guy has?
Yeah, especially my last boyfriend, because he turned out to have... a lot of issues, but when I, as soon as I said his job, and they were like, "Oh, that's great! This is way better than what you've been dating before."
And you're like, "What?"
And I'm like, "Yeah, but he's checking my pulse to see if I'm lying."
So oh, yeah, so he's psycho.
But in fairness,
so you don't think about that when you meet a guy?
No, because I'm so. This is my thing: is I'm gonna work hard and work my ass off to give myself the life that I want.
Yeah.
So if I meet someone, and I've dated many different kinds of people with wealth and without wealth, and you are, if you're in a bad relationship, you're miserable with it. Like, you can be in the nicest places and be absolutely miserable, and you can be, you know, in like, I when I first moved here dated a security guard who lived in the Bronx on a mattress in his mom's floor, and we had the best time, and we didn't ultimately go anywhere because, you know,
because he got no future.
But no, he was lovely
because you need a box spring, as they have over here.
They needed a box spring and you know, headboard too. But no, it was just, we just weren't matched, so it's not something that I really care about, because if I want to have a nice lifestyle, I'll make it for myself.
But listen, if you want to know the real American way, you find the rich guy, you have a good time, you marry him, and then you don't have to worry about being miserable because you divorce him and take half his shit.
Yeah. I know, that is the real American.
Duh.
No way.
Hello, Katie.
I know.
Get with it.
I know. Oh.
No,
I do think you're right though. I think there's things that we can learn from both cultures. I think definitely the American guys I've dated can learn from the Irish lads, where you just get on with it. And then us Irish people can learn to be more okay with a little bit of public PDA or a little bit
of... How do you feel about PDA?
I don't know now. I'm like probably better than all of my girlfriends back home, because I live here. And maybe that was a survival mechanism, because you'd want to be okay with it. But...
Yeah,
it makes me a little uncomfortable when it's too much. But okay. I'm very lovey-dovey. I say I love you to everybody. Yeah. I hug everybody. But I don't want him sticking his tongue down my throat, like, in public.
No, not like if there's, like, three people at a dinner and then you're...
No, it's ridiculous.
But I do love a bit of, like, I love, like, you know, some, like, arm rubbing or, like a little...
Oh, I'm here with a stroke on the leg.
Yeah, no,
but
it's just lovely.
I had a guy recently on it. I deleted my Hinge app since, but a guy on the first date on the subway, daylight, turned around and bit my neck. And like that,
Katie,
was
that's so insane.
I that's hilarious. No,
why
I dated
me.
No, I know.
That was me.
I dated this Latin guy one time, and it was way too much. So we, you know, La Esquina, it's like this. How do you call it when it's like one thing on top, and then you go in downstairs where it's like hidden? What's that thing called?
Like a
speakeasy, like kind of like a speakeasy restaurant place. And we were down there, and he was kind of walking. He was Spanish, so he was walking through, and he was like, you go through the kitchen first. So he was like saying hi to all the, you know, the chefs in the kitchen. And then we walked into the bar, and he was literally like on my neck the entire night, like licking it. And I was like, oh my God.
On a date? A first date?
First date.
Was it the same
now,
guy?
No, I had met him.
My guy
met
was Spanish as well. Was it the same guy?
Leandro?
No.
If you're listening. And he's like, hot.com. Hot. But I was like, too much. Yeah. It was just like...
So what did you say to him?
I just kind of kept like being like, oh, just like, get off me. Like, just, you know, trying not to make it awkward. But like, you know, I'd kind of move away from him or say, oh, stop. And then, you know, dance. It wasn't like it wasn't too much where I felt really uncomfortable. Like, it was still fine. Like, it wasn't like I was in a situation where I was like,
yeah,
this is not appropriate. It was just more on the like... Okay, like, this is, we're out in public, and you know,
but you were still very polite. And I think that's the one of the things that's just recently been beaten out of me, whereas usually I'd kind of let the guy be inappropriate for a little while because I don't want to be rude. And I think the American women are great at being like, get off me, that's annoying, yeah. You're annoying me, go away
no,
from me.
No, this wasn't annoying, like this was just too much. Do you know, no, I'm definitely, and that's so the there end.
Was
I learned that
you enjoyed a little bit of it, just not as much as he was doing.
Yeah, he was just, it was just too much. He was like a Latin
but
lover.
Honestly, I think when people are like making out in a public, like in a restaurant, yeah. I just think that's, I mean, I don't know if I'm old fashioned, but like, I actually just think like, nah, it's just not great.
If it was you and you were on a date and you were really into her.
Okay, sorry about that. That was my fault. We
back on?
I ran out of, I had the batteries in my pocket to change when I, so anyway, we were talking about PDAs and I that's the sound of a kettle.
So I was saying to you, do you want me to turn the kettle off?
No, that's fine. I'm just letting our listeners know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a hum from the.
The AC, should the AC,
but
too?
No, because at the moment it's impossible. You're not turning off the AC mid-August. I'll have a hum through the whole podcast.
We'll
I'm not sitting here in a hot box.
Yeah, are you okay over there? Because you're far from the fan.
I'm absolutely fine.
Are you sure?
You don't worry about me.
We were talking about PDA. What were you saying?
I was going to say to Des, I was like, I don't agree. I imagine you in a restaurant and you've got this hot girl beside you who is mad about you, and she's like, you know, giving you all the feels. Are you going to be like,
no,
get off me. No,
but, well, first of all, the woman very rarely does it. But no, if it's a first date and the vibe is good,
yeah,
I think it's always good to like express allow the energy to be acknowledged with like a quick kiss or like a little bit of just a moment that acknowledges that the energy is rising, mm-hmm. and that you let them know that I'm feeling it. But at the same time, like just not to get going in the restaurant. It's just like not great.
And it depends on what time and how drunk you are. Like, let's say if it's 3 a.m. and you're never at the bar drunk. And you're like, yeah, like,
but that's different. A bar at 3 a.m. Yeah. It's not, and it's I don't like terms like appropriate and not appropriate. However,
but
no, well, it's not appropriate to smoke inside anymore because other people are affected.
Right.
And like, it is just like distracting for everybody else if suddenly people are like making out.
You're there having a fight.
And
I'm as
open as the next guy. Yeah. But I just get embarrassed for people. You like watching people make out in a restaurant?
Yeah, I remember I was in Italy for my brother's wedding recently, and there was this young couple at the train station, and they were just so in their own zone and just like eating the face off each other. And I just thought, that's so great.
The train station?
Yeah.
Yeah, funnily enough, it wouldn't bother me at the train station.
But in a restaurant, it does.
It does because people are eating and shit.
Maybe it depends on the restaurant. Like the layout of it, the vibe of it.
Like, I don't like when people are loud in the restaurant. I just, you know. I think, yeah. I mean, I do believe in a touch of etiquette.
Yeah.
And I believe restaurant etiquette is you don't make out too much in a restaurant.
I think it depends on the restaurant.
I don't think I've ever made out in a restaurant. Have I? Oh, I don't know.
If you're sitting beside them and you're just. I think it depends on the restaurant. So I think if it's like a very kind of.
The music's pumping and, you know.
Yeah, vibey kind of place.
You're in the corner.
Nightclubby vibe, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
People making out at a comedy club drives me fucking nuts.
Well, yeah, because they're not paying attention to the show, which mm-hmm. is the whole reason why they're there.
I've seen it, though.
Does it get you upset when you're at
I actually haven't
show?
Seen anybody making it. Oh, no, I haven't. Oh, I did see someone getting fingered once, though, back in Ireland.
Stop.
Yeah, that was...
At a comedy show?
No, he wasn't at a comedy show, sorry.
You're really setting the mood, I was going to say.
No, that's public. I was sitting down in Brady's in Maynooth, so it's like a little, you know, a bit mental. But like, I was sitting down, and I looked beside me, and some randomer was putting his finger up your one's vagina, and I was like, now this is ridiculous, you could go outside. So that's where I'm like...
It's actually illegal.
Is it?
Well, I would say that you could be charged with like indecent exposure.
Yeah, because I could see everything. I was like, for fuck's sake. And I come from work, so I wasn't even drinking. I hadn't even had a drink at that stage. So I was like, but
I mean, I like a sneaky, sexy moment, you know, but you gotta be discreet.
Yeah. Comedy show, no, I haven't seen it yet.
Why? Why do you have to be discreet? Can you just live your best life? No.
Well, you know,
America has changed you, Miss Ireland.
I think you need to be discreet for the safety of, you know, everybody. You know, it's hard to know if the other person is totally comfortable, especially if there's alcohol involved. The next day is like, yo, 10 people saw you getting fucking fingered in the club last night.
And I'm not talking about that. Oh, like, you're
that's what I'm talking
extreme.
About.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's what I was talking about. You got to be discreet with the
jeepers.
Sorry, that's what I was talking about.
Nope.
With the full on stuff.
No.
Yeah. But I like a bit of sneaky sexual public stuff, but you have to be discreet. You got to be smart.
Where's the craziest place you guys have had sex? Ooh.
Oh God, I've
abracadabra bathroom.
It's kebabra.
Ooh. Oh, abracadabra bathroom.
Oh, is it kebabra? I always thought it was kebabra too.
Abracadabra, yeah, it's a kebab. You know, it's a kebab. Oh. It's a kebab.
I always thought it was abracadabra.
The things you learn on a podcast.
It was with my first boyfriend.
If it wasn't the restaurant that made my career, I guess I wouldn't be so passionate about it.
Oh. Major career?
It literally did make my career.
Did it?
Yeah, the first episode of the Des Bishop Work Experience 2004 was in abracadabra.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyway.
And come here, where was yours? Where was yours?
I don't know, I've had loads of places.
Okay, where was yours, Emma? Because that was back when I was in Ireland, so that wasn't here.
Few interesting.
She won't say it because she's worried about the press back in Ireland.
The beach. The beach.
The beach. Plane.
A plane. That's great.
You had sex in a plane?
A plane.
Yeah.
I want to have sex.
Swimming
in
plane. Pools. Yeah. Your own one.
I had it in
I've
the
never had sex in a plane.
In Woodlawn, in the woods up there. My ex.
You mean
boyfriend.
In Van Cortlandt Park?
Oh yeah, it was like a, you know where the ducks are near the river?
In Woodlawn in the North Bronx.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was like really cold, so nobody was using the park anymore. So we went for a walk.
I've had loads. I had sex in the trees before I went to watch Roger Federer versus Robin Soderling quarterfinal of US Open. 2000 whatever.
Yeah, I love right. I love outside sex.
Probably 2008
hot and
maybe.
Sweaty and humid as well.
My
so
ex
no this
really
was like yeah this was like a nice night.
Okay.
My ex-boyfriend would only have sex, the most recent one would only have sex in the bedroom, and I was like, oh, that really
no really
oh, that
isn't for
joy.
Me yeah I wanna
you wanna be able to have impromptu yeah. moments right
yeah
backstage in Vicar Street.
Oh wow.
Best one ever. And then no, well, not the best location. There was
shout
just
out
a
to her.
Great,
okay.
Great experience. Shout out to whatever her fucking name was. I'm kidding. Guys,
I'm kidding. It's Michelle.
I'm totally joking. I'm totally joking.
How are you, Michelle? I hope you're listening. Hope
I'm totally
it's still
joking.
Good.
I absolutely cannot remember her name, but I would never be that dismissive about it.
Except just were.
And when it comes to public display of action, I'll tell you, like, even something as little, if I'm on a first date and I just don't know him, I hate when they touch me and they don't
in
know
in the dunes at yeah. Ross's Point.
Oh,
he's still thinking back over his sexual
in the morning
history. In the morning, good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, actually same girl as Roger Federer and Robin Soderling. Right. Actually
I like
yeah.
her, she seems
we're still
fun.
Good buddies yeah. to this day, but just she lives too far away. Probably would have been married long ago if we lived in the same place.
Really?
Aww. Yeah, she was yeah she was the first girl I was kind of with after my big breakup.
Yeah. Mm.
She might even listen to this now.
Wow.
If she does, move to New York.
Come back. Yeah, come back.
We're such romantics. That's yeah. other Irish thing. We're secretly
oh,
all romantics.
No, I'm kidding.
Come back. Great. I want to fuck her in the village. I want to fuck her in Times Square. Come back. 3 a.m. in Times Square.
With all the heroin addicts.
It's so romantic.
Yeah.
It's a real turn on.
Oh,
anyway,
I
sorry, wait. Go back to the PDAs, Katie. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, I guess at a most
oh,
recent Hinge date,
saying, yeah.
and he insisted on coming to a show, but I didn't really know him. And then in front of everybody, like, he came in, and first thing he did was he was stroking my back. And I was just like,
on a first
and
date?
You've never
yeah.
met him before?
First date?
Too
first
much.
Date, and I ended up, oh, Des will be proud of me for this because what happened was he insisted on kind of texting me, like, well, I'll just come to the show. And I was like, oh, whatever, at least then that way I don't have to talk to him too much. And if it's weird afterwards, I only have a short amount of time because I had another show. So I thought this would be perfect. But anyway, he heckled my friend. My friend went up first. I was at the end. I was up where the comedians were.
Yeah.
And he heckled my friend. And he said, my friend was on stage. He goes, oh, what was my next joke? And he goes, you don't have material. I was like, oh, fuck. And there was a few Irish girls there who listened to the podcast. And they knew that I was on a Hinge date. And they looked mortified up at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And then my friend, Alex Pavone, you know Alex Pavone.
Yeah.
He goes, I knew you'd be trouble. And this Hinge date shouted, I'm here to fuck a comedian.
Wow.
So I thought, and I was up next. So I was like, I can't. And it was like
dry city.
And it was one of those shows where it's a really small bar. So I couldn't go Jeez. Through to give out to him. But I was up next. So I did my set and I walked straight down. I looked at the Irish girls and did like a slit across my neck. I'm going to cut this guy out. And this is the first time I've ever done this. So I was proud of myself. I brought him outside and I said, I'm not going for a drink with you. And
yeah.
he was like, why? And I was like, because you just
why?
Come.
The fact that you don't even know.
Oh, he told me that I was terrible to cut him off like that. And I was like,
serious?
I'm just not going to waste your time or waste my time. But like the old me would have went for a drink, been polite and then ghosted him. Yeah. But like, I was delighted. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, no, good luck.
The old you would have went for a drink. Even after that, I'm here to fuck a comedian. I think even the old you wouldn't have done it, Katie.
I hope so. But I think about some
That's
of the dates
bad.
I've been
yeah.
on where I've just been like, oh,
you're
well,
right.
maybe
what
he didn't need that.
In the beginning, yeah. And you're so nice.
Yeah, he was like, oh no, I was just joking. And I think old me would have been like, okay, but now that I'm like a mature woman, I was like, no, that's really inappropriate. I wouldn't come to your job and do that. it's done. And then I thought he had walked away, and I walked back over to the comedians. He comes over and he shouts at Alex, "She doesn't want to date me because I interrupted you." And then he walked off and continued to text
for
me.
Him.
And then the bartender texts me going, "I hope you're not going on a I hope you're not going on a date with that guy because he didn't tip me."
He didn't tip me. Oh, so he's stingy, he's a loudmouth, and he's a big ego.
I'd leave him
after
that, but I was just like, from the start,
that's two cheapos. That's two cheapos now you've met recently.
I know. Who was the other cheapo again?
The guy that was like splitting the bill with you, even had a good job.
Oh my God,
well,
that was
what
terrible.
Do you think about that? Because my younger brother is like, you know, equal. I mean, maybe he's changed now after like calling him out.
He might not have a lot of
money. We discussed it before in the pocket. How do you feel about it?
How do you feel about it?
Yeah. I feel like if it's a first date and you've asked me out, I think you should pay for it. And if you don't have that much money, McDonald's picnic by the water is fine, like figure something out. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be super fancy, we can go for a walk. But I think it's definitely the lads, if they ask you out, their responsibility. But then after that, I don't like this kind of culture of like he has to pay for everything. Like
definitely a little more prominent here, I think.
I disagree with that. Because also I don't like to give the men all the power then, and then they're able to say kind of, oh, you know, she, you know, never paid for a bill, or she did this, or kind of characterize you by that behavior. And that's just not something I want to do.
By rights nowadays, it should be a split bill. But I actually think like not all traditions have to disappear. The power dynamic is shifting, but at the same time, it's a halfway decent tradition to just have the guy pay.
I think there's a difference between gender equality and chivalry. And I think that's sometimes where the line is blurred, where people are like, oh, like, I can open my own door and I can blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just nice. Yeah. Like, it's a nice gesture that you're being considerate of another human being. And, you know, I think that, I agree with you.
I like that soundbite for CNN. I think there's a difference between gender equality and chivalry.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's a good soundbite.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll let my pals at CNN know.
That's good. So very Miss Ireland of you.
Thank you.
That there's a media.
That's my wave after media, all these years. No, I'm kidding.
The media training paid off.
I didn't get any. Wish I did.
And so, do you have any like stories where PDA was too much for you or anything? Barry, that other one you said about the neck.
But I had one incident, and this is when I first moved here. And like you said about how you change when you come over here, you're able to say no. So there was this guy that so one of my friends is an artist, he's a street artist, Robert Vargas, and he was drawing me in the Bowery Hotel. So he does these beautiful paintings live, and I was sitting there, didn't know anyone else, I just went to support him, and he asked me what I, you know, model for him or whatever, and so I did. And so then this guy had come up to me, and beautiful guy, like, you know, very nice, was like chatting away to me, asked me to get a drink, and I was like, no, I'm not really having a drink tonight. And then when I was being painted, he was like taking a million photos, and I was like, this is a bit weird. So I went back over to him afterwards, I got my phone back off him because I couldn't really hold anything while I was being painted. And so I guess I could have put it somewhere, but anyway, so he took it. And then he was being very intense, like, would you go on a date with me? And there was just something that I was feeling that was a bit off. But I was still, the Irishness in me was like, no, ignore it. You know, it's not you. Like, you know, you're not right. Like he's fine. He's grand. Like, you're, you know, just go on the date. Like, he's probably a lovely lad. So texted him, kept saying no, kept kind of not committing to it. And then one night I was like, okay, I'm really not doing anything. No other offers. Sure, why not? So ended up going to this really weird tapas restaurant. And I think it was almost on purpose that he chose this weird place. Tiny, tiny little plates. And he ordered a few things. He's like, should we go somewhere else? I don't like this place. The food is terrible. And I was like, yeah, sure. And even in that place, he was like kissing me a lot. And I was like, can you not? Like, I'm not comfortable with this. Like, I don't know you very well. Like, let's talk. Like, I want to get to know you. And so he was like, sure. And he kind of did it a few more times. And I was like putting my hand up, like, you know, not like, please stop. And so then when we went to leave to go to this other place, we went around the corner. I didn't know New York at all. It was the middle of winter. I moved here in January. And we went around the corner and we were in Soho and we went up the stairs. And I was like, where are we going? He was like, I just got to grab my jacket. And I was like, I'll wait down here. He was like, no, come up. I'll be 2 seconds. Yeah, I know. It sounds terrible. And I would never do this now. But I was like, you know, naive, dumb. And I was like, yeah, sure. No bother. Like, even though my gut was like, don't do it. I went upstairs and I sat on the corner, was like looking at the door. I didn't know New York. I didn't know where the hell I was. I was dirt poor. And I was like, fuck, like, what do I do? So I sat down I was like, okay, I'm sure he's just going to grab his things. And there were like boxes all over his apartment. And I was like, he's like, I'm moving out and like whatever. And then he like came over to where I was on the couch and was like kissing me. And I couldn't move my face. Like I couldn't move my body. And I was like, please get off me. Please stop doing that. And I think from that moment afterwards, I was like, I'm never. And I like managed to like, I was like, okay, I'm going. Goodbye. Like, please stop. He's like, I can call you a car. I was like, hell no. First of all, because I'm not going to give you my address. So I just left there. And then I went and asked some randomer. I was like, how do I get back down? I was living in Financial District at the time. How do I get back down there? But two things from that. One, obviously, like massive, like, you know, PDA, like, you know, weight over the top. But like secondly, is like that thing of like checking your gut. And I think when you move abroad to cities where maybe people aren't as nice as Irish people, I'm sure it happens in Ireland as well too, but like ignoring that thing, that voice in your head that's like, this is, there's something not right about this situation. So yeah, that was when like PDA and like public turned into like
nightmare something. Lucky, yeah, escape.
I was so lucky, so lucky. And I just think about that guy, he's probably just
the fact that you communicated as well, like
sneaky,
I'm not,
guy,
yeah,
it's right, a lot of that, those things can happen.
That's
so
one thing
easily
I've learned, not just from this podcast, just chatting a lot of women lately,
yeah,
sneaky,
yeah,
guys. Very does any terrible woman out there never trust the guy who like Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, whatever, says like, hey, why don't we just have a glass of wine on my roof?
Ever. Don't ever go to their apartments, and yeah, don't invite them to your apartment either first. I know
Katie does that for tea, but
but see, yeah, when I was doing it, I used to bring them back for tea. I actually stopped it now because I realized, yeah, I was giving them the wrong impression.
But I did the same thing.
But I also was living with guys, so I always, yeah, felt same, it's better to bring them home to mine, yeah, and kind of,
I had three lads I was living with and I would get them to come over to mine. Yeah. But then, do you know what the problem is? They know where you live.
Yeah.
You could be in the house by yourself. Your lad friends mightn't be there. Yeah. And I was like, these are absolute lunatic strangers that I don't even, yes, know. You're, and right, in Ireland, it's different. It's smaller. Like you said, you know someone who knows someone who knows someone. It can still absolutely happen. It's still not the safest thing to do at all, like Ireland or anywhere else. Yeah. But especially if you're in a big city, yeah, like just, it was just so dumb.
That's so true. And I was saying this to you the other night. I guess I had a really weird experience with an American man recently, and we didn't have sex or whatever, but his behavior was so a bit mental that I kind of thought, that's one thing you miss about back home is anybody I kiss is a friend of a friend, yeah, or knows my dad or knows my parent. They wouldn't treat me. They'd be too embarrassed because, yeah, yeah, they know to get back. Mm. And you're right. It's a little,
as I joke on my show, in Ireland, you're not worried about being murdered, and now you're worried about finding out 6 weeks later you're related.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That's actually true.
It is brilliant. But this guy,
oh,
this guy acted.
One of those O'Sullivans.
We're cousins.
Oh yeah, right.
Didn't realize it was one of them.
That's so funny. But yeah, like
I'm funny, Katie.
You are. You're my favorite comedian. So happy I get to open for him.
So what were we saying?
Just like I've noticed a bit of like crazy behavior where I kind of think, oh god, if I would, you do that now if you knew that I could say that back to people? Like there's no connections here, you know. There's just so many,
yeah,
yeah, I don't know,
yeah, you got to be careful.
There's more responsibility.
Anonymity is liberating but also has its dangers.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
definitely.
But if there's any guys listening, my first date tip, but I'm a non-drinker, so this is suits me. And I understand what you're saying about not letting guys know where you live and stuff like that. But if you can drive and pick them up, it is handy, because obviously I don't think you should ever go back to somebody's apartment on the first date. I would never expect it, and I never push it, because I just think if that's going to happen in the future, you have a way better chance of it being more successful if you don't do that in the first date. Just get to know each other, no expectations. However, it is always nice to have a kiss goodbye if the date has gone well. Mm-hmm. It is like a nice way to punctuate a nice evening. So if you drive, then you'll always be dropping them off, and you will always have just that moment in the car. In the car to just
such
like
a romantic.
But then here are the complications.
Okay.
So if you're a guy and you're driving and you've pulled up outside their apartment,
do you honk?
No, well, no, that's on the pickup. That's like a real, like, don't honk. The dad will get pissed off. But at the end of the night, if you unbuckle your seatbelt, then there's an assumption of I'm about to lean over.
Yeah.
Right. But if you don't unbuckle, then she thinks, oh, he's not into it.
Yeah. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
If she makes physical contact with you throughout the night. So if she's like, yeah, like rubbing your, sorry guys.
Oh, that was lovely.
If she's rubbing my leg, I know it's on.
Or like there's some kind of, or you can't you sense that kind of tension in the car? a little bit.
No, you can sense it, but you know, you can just people, you know, like some people are tough to read or back and forth. She might be finding you tough to read, so she might be protecting herself.
And the lean in can be a little awkward in the car as well.
It can be awkward. It can be awkward.
You know, you're like trying to move over.
So not to try to make this too like political or whatever. Has that changed for you now with the current movements and everything going on? Sorry to like bring it up. And
No.
You're the same. You wouldn't worry about those kind of things.
Well, no, because it's not that's not an issue. Like what I'm talking about is so not in that realm.
No, I know. You're just talking about a kiss. But I know some of my male friends are scared to make any kind of move that isn't initiated by the girl, because they're like, well, I don't want her to say which is way over the
I
other
think that's guys
extreme.
Also trying to what was
my,
that your
my
phone?
Dog is home. You want to meet my puppy?
Oh great, bring your puppy up. But while Emma goes to get her puppy, just on that point, I do think sometimes guys exaggerate that a little bit, like, oh, now I don't know what to do. Oh, you're still listening. Emma's listening, but she's not on the mic. I think that can be a touch exaggerated. I mean, I understand that in a situation where suddenly social norms shift so dramatically that people don't know where they stand. But on the flip side, I also think guys can be like, no, I don't know what to do. And it's like, well, it's really not that complicated, bro.
Do you think that they're using it as an excuse now just because they're afraid of rejection?
I think there's any number of factors from that, a fear of rejection, to, you know, just in terms of like, gender conflict, that it's very easy for them to be like, well, now it's gone too far. You know, I think there's, I think that's two extremes of the spectrum of what this might be. By the way, what time
no,
are
I'm good. I just thought it's not the puppy. She's
okay.
Not
yeah. But anyway, just, I just think there's any number of reasons why guys might say that. But just in terms of this lighthearted scenario of being in the car.
How would you give the sign that you?
But it's up to the guy to move, right?
I'm very. I think I do think it's up to the guy. I think I'm rare because I'm quite like forward with that stuff. Like I've no problem kind of being like leaning over, and doing it. But I don't think a lot of women would be like. I think just go for it, lean in, and then if she kind of pulls away, be like, oh, I was just gonna open the door for you and reach over.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to help
reach over and open the door.
Like I said, no, so if you lean in and she pulls back, just go, oh, sorry, I was just going to open the door for you.
I mean, I've never been in a scenario where I lean in and she pulls back, other than if she pulls back to like make some sort of a joke. And then no, but like I would wait. I just wouldn't do it if I felt like it was going to be a rejection. And then I've been in a situation where I haven't done it out of fear of like just not couldn't get the signal. And then, you know, in the post-mortem texts, she'll be like, well, you know, you didn't kiss me or you didn't make a move. And I was like, well, I really didn't think you were into it. And she was like, well, I couldn't, you know. So obviously there can be miscommunication.
So say he doesn't make a move on a date with you. What would you do in that situation? Would you kiss him or would you?
I'm very touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. So I'll have already touched his leg a bunch. So if he hasn't made the move for the kiss, I'll just kind of go, he wasn't interested.
You would never just give him a...
You never go in for the move?
I'd go in for the move. Yeah, I probably would. I'd go in for it. Yeah, I've done it a bunch, actually. I've gone in for most of the last kisses.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm like, I genuinely think that the lad is not going to pull away. He'd probably just kiss you because, sure, why not?
Mm. Or, well, you get a feeling if he wasn't feeling it either, so.
It'd be very rare that a guy would be on a date with you for a couple of hours, like for like the whole date.
Yeah.
And not kiss you, I think, because it's just a kiss in the end, really, right?
Yeah, but I've also had scenarios where the girl will like get out of the car quick and leave, and then I'll be like, oh, she's not into it. And then like we'll stay together over text and like we'll end up hanging out loads, but just she was like nervous, you know, kind of like almost couldn't deal with
that first kiss. Is so nerve-wracking.
Like there's especially like a nerves of like, okay, it's, you know, I'd rather just not deal with this right now, I'll just get out,
right,
you know?
No, that's true, especially if you're like someone you really like and you might have known for a little bit. It's not like a Hinge date or something, or a Tinder date. Yeah, that could be
it. Tells so much though. Do you think it tells a lot about the relationship, the first kiss? Like, because I think kissing is a good sign of what intimacy will be like.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think so, too?
Yeah, I base a lot off the kiss.
Yeah. Same. So then there's a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, and especially if you've already been friends before, that's a lot of pressure, too.
Oh! I don't know if I've ever been on a date with someone who I've been friends with before.
I think that's the way to go from now on. That's what
I'm gonna... for marriage.
Yeah,
that's
like
good for marriage.
I think for the future, like I'm kind of done with the whole dating thing for a while, but I think for the future I've kind of
thought, Katie, what
why
the fuck
are you done
you're
with
doing
the whole
a fucking
dating
sex
thing?
And dating podcast.
I say this
what
every
the hell
week.
Are we going to talk about?
I say this every
you've
week.
You've had like three actual boyfriends and fucking six real dates.
Des, you know I have a dating addiction. So
you do?
You're not a fucking dating addiction.
I do. I go on Hinge dates all the time.
You're in New York City. You should have
a single woman.
I have a date on Sunday morning. I just like to say I'm done with it.
You have a date for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're in New York.
I like to say I'm done with it because then I keep just having these lunatics and I keep being like, what's wrong with me?
Just be more discerning. Just be more discerning, Katie.
I have a date Sunday morning.
Have you been talking to them? Have you been doing the screening?
I didn't call.
Have you been...
I should call this guy.
I told you to do the screening.
Sunday morning is so weird.
No, but Sunday morning is great because it's a tenant.
It's a good way. You can cut out a lot of riffraff by calling. Yeah.
Well, if I had to call that weird, bulgy guy, the heckler guy, I would have known from his voice.
Exactly.
Because when he walked in, I was sitting there with the four Irish girls and they only knew me from the podcast, but they literally went, as he walked in the door, they go, see a guy, you won't like him.
Yeah.
And it's because he was fucking loud walking in the door. But Sunday, tenement museum. What a great first date.
Really
very good first date because it's one of the best tourist attractions in New York.
Oh, and he suggested it.
Oh,
and that
it's really fantastic.
He already has the tickets, which is great. He's texted me saying, hey, I have free tickets. Do you want to go to this? And I'd already deleted my Hinge. I forgot giving out my number. And then he's 11:30 Sunday, so it's perfect. That way,
great.
I'm gonna
live there. So I'm just going to accidentally.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'm just going to quietly. live bonus podcast with Katie's here. Which is
we're going to be like, yeah, live on Facebook.
And I haven't told him about the podcast. I haven't told him about I had told him that I do comedy, and then he was like, oh, would you like to go to a comedy show? I know this great bar show. And I text back saying, no, I'm really sorry, but that would be like bringing you he was asking me to go as an audience member.
Right.
I'm not going to any fucking show that I'm not on unless it's like famous people that I can learn
unless
from
you get booked
and
it.
All my friends would be there. It'd be like introducing him to my whole comedy family before I even know them, so no way.
And remember the last time you said as well about that lad, it's like you wouldn't bring another date to your kind of essentially place of
unless
work.
Unless I
really
already knew them,
exactly.
That's the second time, though.
Yeah, you should never bring it again.
I know.
I don't even like bringing like my long-term girlfriends.
Because I brought a boyfriend, like an actual...
Right.
You're not yourself. Exactly, and you can't... It's just like that extra thing. And you don't want to be a selfish prick by ignoring them. But at the same time, it's just like you're not yourself.
You're in your zone, yeah.
And even if they're really not in any way, shape, or form needy on that particular evening, you're still worried. Mm-hmm. No, but you're still worried, and it's just
feelings,
because you're working, and it's really stressful job, and it's difficult.
Right.
You know?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
and I've had the first guy I was dating when I came over here. Him and his friend came, and his friend heckled me, and he didn't do anything about it. And then the second I was dating this Northern Irish lad, and he got really, really drunk, and he heckled my friend. I broke up with him that night, and he heckled my friend. And then I've had
and
that
her friend
date.
Is Protestant. It was really fucking awkward. It's got really sectarian, really quick.
Are you serious?
I just specified
that he was going
Irish. About this. I was like, oh my god. Sorry.
I don't know why I felt the need to be like he was Northern Irish.
You fucking kitty, I'll fucking blow your fucking head off.
Oh, I loved his accent. One time we were out, and his accent was so strong, and these people were looking at us, and I was like, oh, he's not drunk. It's just his accent.
Do you know what I think is so great? Though, do you know the way Derry Girls has really taken off here?
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. Because I wasn't sure if it would because of the accents, but it's so great that it's done so well. It's so funny.
I need subtitles with that sometimes.
Do you?
With fucking Derry?
The most recent one I put on subtitles because I didn't understand what. I hate missing out on any word because I love Derry Girls.
I do as well.
I read the pilot and everything.
You what?
I read the pilot like for inspiration if I would ever write my own show, but.
Yeah, Louisa is a good buddy of mine. Louisa Harlan. She plays one of the girls.
Oh, yeah. Which one is she? The blonde-haired girl?
Well, no, I have to admit that. I don't want to watch it. But she's got kind of curly, brownish, reddish hair.
Oh, she's the one. I love her. I couldn't understand her this time because her accent was so
thick. She's from fucking Dublin.
I know. She's great.
She's from Dundrum.
She's great. But that's when I had to turn on subtitles because I didn't want to miss a word she was saying. There was one part where she was talking really fast and I was like, what is she saying? But yeah, she's great. Oh, no. Which one? There's two of them.
I don't know the name of the character. Sorry. I'm outing myself as never watched Derry Girls. I need to watch it.
It's great. The first
I've seen a few
amazing.
Clips, like, you know.
Second season.
So it makes me miss fish and chips. Just saying.
Fosh and chops.
Fosh and chops.
Fosh and chops.
I love the Northern Irish accent as well. It's
battery,
so sexy.
But it's not the same. In the West Village.
Salt and battery?
Salt and battery.
Oh, they do fosh and chops?
Yeah, they do fosh and chops, sorry, but it's not the same.
Oh, your accent's really good. See, when I do it, it doesn't sound like my granny.
Yeah, you fucking sound like a Norwegian.
Oh, no.
Like a fucking chef. The Muppet Show.
Fjords and stuff.
Well, anyway, guys, we've talked for ages. We're talking 28 minutes since the batteries ran out.
Since we changed the battery.
Thank you, Miss Ireland. Uncle, tell us, before we go.
Emma.
Yeah.
Thank you, Miss Ireland.
Yeah, very welcome.
Before we go, quickly, you're doing an amazing thing over here. Oh, I can get that word out. What are you doing?
Ting. It's a really delicious soda.
Are you still working in the box or no?
No, not for years. Tell me what you're doing. I started a tech company about 6 months ago, and so we are a female streaming platform, and it's called Wild. On Instagram, it's, I think, Wild.tv, I hope. We changed it, the handle, but yeah, so we're basically doing a stamp. So it's like Rotten Tomatoes or Good Housekeeping, and we analyze content and we look at the inclusion of women, we look at the portrayal of women, and then we look at diversity, and each movie, each TV show gets a rating. And then we aggregate that content, and we're like a female Netflix or like a Lifetime, but streaming. And the idea is so that we have more equity in Hollywood, and there's women being hired all throughout the creative process, which is not currently the case. Right now, about 4% of directors are female, 96% are male, 13% of writers are women. And so it just means we're not getting it, making our way into like the cultural narrative, and it's not really, you know, reflective of society. And then movements like the Me Too and Time's Up movement can happen because there's an imbalance in power. So we're trying to do something to kind of make it more equitable.
What's it called again?
It's called Wild, like Oscar Wilde, W-I-L-D-E, Wild. So it'll be launching at the end of this year. And yeah,
it's amazing.
Stay tuned.
And what's your Instagram?
It's mine, Emma B. Waldron.
And it's at Wild TV as well, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I'll tag it anyway.
Yeah.
We'll all tag it up.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
That's the first time you've been here for the pause of 3 seconds and then talk about the end of the episode.
I know, it's so exciting.
It's literally only been 3 seconds since we closed off our intro. And now it's an hour later in your lives, listeners.
I've revealed behind the curtain.
Yes, the secrets of podcasting. An hour after you guys, hopefully you've listened to the whole ep. Thanks to Emma.
Yeah, thanks, Emma.
And now I don't have to say, and thanks to Katie, because you're right here.
Thank me.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Des.
At Katie Boyle Comic, yes. Which I always say. I'm at Des Bishop. Yeah. Emma just gave out her Instagram. And yeah, listen, you want to plug your show? And since it's working, well, I guess you're always telling people, go to Instagram, see where you're going to be performing, right?
Yeah. Do you know why I should be plugging the show that I've ran for years? If anybody, any Irish are living out in Queens, come to Astoria on Saturday, QED. It's every fourth Saturday of the month, but it's this Saturday, and I never plugged that show.
Oh, this Saturday, good.
I get lazy plugging my own show. I've been running.
Get all the Sunnyside Irish. Come on, Sunnyside Irish. Go to QED in Astoria.
They should, and it's always Colm Terrell is out. The guy we had on episode 4 or 5. He always does a spot on the show. So
great.
Yeah.
Also, I'll be in Vegas if anyone's in Vegas the end of the third week of September. Then I'm in Mohegan Sun.
Oh.
Up in the casino up in Connecticut.
Okay.
I'm also doing a fundraiser on Friday the 13th in Rory Dolan's. That's a proper Irish vibe.
No, that's
great.
For
the Kevin Bell Trust. That's Friday the 13th. That's actually going to be an outdoor gig.
That's amazing.
In the parking lot of, in the car park.
I did Rory Dolan's years ago when I first started comedy.
Oh, really?
It was so scary, yeah.
It's good fun up there. It's always pretty rowdy. But anyway, I'll be up in Rory's doing a show. Rory's a cabin man. And ooh. Other than that, I'm back on tour in Ireland. That's the most important thing. Back in Vicar Street. Saturday's kind of sold out. Sunday's tickets left. Looks like Katie might be on that show. We've just been discussing it today.
I'm going to come back for it. So come out and support me.
It's
my birthday that week too.
Oh my God.
I'll have just turned 29, so I'll definitely need the support.
Yeah, one more year in your 20s.
I know, but everybody says I look 23, so I'm thinking of telling people from now on. I'm just going to change on my passport. I'm just going to write. I'm 23 now.
It's illegal.
It's been
29 is fine, Katie.
How come you can change your name but you can't change your age? If I look 23, I should just be able to say I'm 23. Then I can date 22-year-old.
You can do whatever you like, Katie.
True.
So, come check that out.
Oh, that's
all
so
the
fun.
Dates are on desbishop.net on my tour dates page. Anything else you want to plug, Katie, before we go, since we're still together?
No.
Oh, hey.
What?
I should have done it at the beginning, but we're chatting now. Did you get a lot of feedback the last 2 weeks? We had two kind of...
Yes.
Intense episodes about.
It was great. Great. Keep coming with the feedback because it makes us, you know, it's good, just good to hear, and it makes us feel great. Got a lot of feedback, especially from my mother episode and from Natalie's episode, the follow-up as well. A lot of people relating to it, which is great. A lot of advice as well. Thank you.
Yes, I feel
a
like
lot of go to therapy.
I feel like it was a departure for you, departure for the podcast. perhaps almost a maturing of the podcast, as well as all of us.
It was liberating for me because it's the first time I've ever publicly in years. I didn't even really speak to a lot of friends about, or you know, what went on. So that was great. And then to have Natalie come on and see, I feel Natalie's a me 10 years ago, you know, before I kind of figured out what was going on. So it was great to kind of have her on and be able to, she was great for being so honest and open, and she got a lot of great feedback as well.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, so she was really grateful for that. She said I got a few messages.
And so, now we're off to do a show. We're going to have Natalie on too.
Yeah, we love Natalie.
The podcast family.
Yeah, I'm so happy. She's so happy that she's going to be on.
One of these days I'm going to be accused of just hanging out with a load of young female comics.
You're like, yeah, but you know, it'll be like a lose-lose. You're like helping women and that's great. And then they'll be like, oh, you're hanging out with too much women. And you're like, what can you do? What?
Can't fucking win.
No.
Won't be the first fucking time I've been fucking getting gypped for fucking helping people and fucking can't do anything.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. I'm sure people will be like, I think it's great. My
in
dad
the end,
loves
you. Fucking ungrateful come at you and accuse you of fucking bullshit. That's
you'll
just the way it
fine.
Is.
Fine. Nat, and like, in fairness, Natalie said this because I put up a post and I was like, all the opportunities I've gotten have been by female bookers here, which is great. But then Natalie came to me and she said, actually, all the opportunities she's gotten have been by male comics.
Oh, really?
That a few of the female comics who could have brought her on the road didn't, and that the men looked after. And she was like, it's a funny because the attitude over here now is kind of anti. And I suppose when I thought about it, you're the one who's given me, at all the senior comics, you're the one giving me opportunities. So when it comes to comics, like, anyway, it's just interesting.
But I'm not giving you opportunities because you're a woman. I'm giving you opportunities because you're Irish.
I know. Well, still, it's still
pure nationalistic nepotism.
But I mean, like, so there's good on both sides and bad on both sides.
Of course.
So, which is, well, that was a bit of a sideway.
A sideway.
I am dyslexic.
But that was a bit of a
sideway. Like I was in, I stepped to the side for a second.
Well, that's fine.
You know, when I talked
about, the podcast is over, so this is just bonus.
Well, you know, when I talked about on the podcast about having sex in Abracadabra.
Abracadabra, yeah.
Abracadabra. I didn't say about how an employee came in and knocked on the door and was like, you need to leave. And
yeah, but I think you've told that story on the podcast before. You've certainly told me.
Oh, sorry, podcast listeners. I guess it's horrifying.
I think you have. But I mean, whether you've told on the podcast or not, you've definitely told me about the guy interrupting your moment.
I hope you guys are all having wild sex.
Well, I'm sure some people are having it in different spots. We haven't had much of a sexual episode lately anyway, so this one's pretty sexual. It gets dirty.
So that's it.
It got dirty. Anyway, let's go.
We're going to watch porn next week.
Oh yeah, that's a big ep next week. We're going to watch porn. Well, Katie's going to watch porn for the first time.
I know, but what if I get all horny? It'd be weird.
Well, don't fucking do what you got to do, Katie. My shower head is fixed to the wall.
Oh.
Sorry, mate. Oh.
I haven't used the vibrator in ages because I just really like the shower, and I was moved all my stuff into my room, and I guess the vibrator fell on the floor, and I keep my bedroom door open the whole time, and I looked into the day and I saw that maybe for a long time it's been sitting at the corner of the door on the floor. Like anybody who's walked into our apartment would have just saw this little vibrator at the corner of my door. But I just never noticed.
You gotta get the Hitachi magic wand.
No, I'm getting the Satisfyer next.
The Satisfyer.
That's what Remy recommended. And so did Emma Waldron, actually. Actually, one of the things that we... Oh, sorry to share this, Emma. But one of the things we bonded on while we were drinking was she told me the Womanizer is amazing.
The Womanizer?
Which is the same as
the
Satisfyer.
You're hanging out with him.
That's Des Bishop for you.
I'm only kidding. That's actually like... That's like an inside joke about me and my friends. Not the Womanizer bit, but that laugh.
Oh, the laugh.
That's kind of like a
hermogeny old man.
A group thing amongst our friends. That I've gotten too comfortable now. I'm letting out all our... Anyway, we better go, Katie.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.